Yes, today we're starting a new series. It's the parables. Yay, parables. And I don't know how long we're going to go with this. We'll see. I mean, there's lots and lots of parables, but this will be through the spring. Just a variety of parables we'll be doing. Now, you know, Jesus didn't always teach in parables, but much of his teaching is in parables. You know, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, that's not a group of parables. So Jesus didn't always teach in parables. But you know, Jesus, and we'll come back to this a little later as he talks about it, but Jesus was talking to a group of people who were calloused and who were hard. Many had stopped listening to ideas other than their own. You know, they were stuck in their own ideas. They only saw what they wanted to see. They only heard what they wanted to hear. That sound familiar? Right? Anybody think that's only a modern problem? You know, it goes back to Jesus. Matter of fact, it goes back. Isaiah talks about people like that. In the call of Isaiah, God talks about, you know, that's how these people are. So the condition wasn't unique to us, and it wasn't unique to Jesus' time, the first century. And Jesus used the parables to break through to those who would listen. By using these stories, he would get people who weren't really sure they wanted to listen to listen and to learn some of these lessons. So a question for us as we go through all the parables, you know, will we listen? You know, will we listen to the lesson? Will we take the lesson even if we don't like it? Because some of his lessons are hard. Some of his lessons are not pleasant even for us. Will we listen? The parables are stories that draw us in. So as we go through the parables, this is just a lesson for yourself as you're doing your own reading even. A great way to think about a parable, to meditate on it, is to consider who or what in the parable represents you. You know, as you go through, like, who am I in this? And then once I kind of see who I am in the story, then what does that say about me? You know, if Justin truly is the enemy, as Jody has portrayed him, what does that mean? Right? Let's read the parable. Joe did a wonderful job of going through it. I'd like to read it again, though. It's page 969 of your Pew Bible, Matthew 13, starting at verse 24. Matthew 13. Jesus told them another parable, it says. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field?" By the way, that's just kind of a dumb question, isn't it? You can imagine a farmer, "No, I sowed weeds. What are you talking about?" No. "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned.'" Sorry, he's going to be burned. "Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." We won't technically burn anybody today. Now, later in this chapter, Jesus explains his parable. And I'm not going to read that part, but I will talk about it a little bit. And a great rule of thumb in understanding parables: if Jesus explains his parable, he's right. Okay? Jesus knows what his parable means, and when he gives you an explanation, that is the true explanation. All right? Don't argue with Jesus over these things. Okay? And what as Jesus explains this, we talk through the parable, so there's this sower, and the sower is Christ himself who sows good wheat, and those are believers, by the way, who are to bear good fruit, right? And he sows good wheat, the believers, in his field, which is the world. But there's also an enemy, Satan, who sows weeds, which would be unbelief, false teachers. The owner of the field, Jesus, doesn't want the weeds pulled up until the time of the harvest, because some of the wheat might be pulled up along with the weeds. And then Jesus talks about, but at the end, they're going to be pulled up and the weeds are going to be burned. And the wheat will be taken in, you know, into the new heaven and live with Christ. So notice, Jesus has an enemy. But that enemy is not the weeds. The enemy is Satan. Jesus never says his enemy is the weeds. Unbelievers, evil people in the world, are not the enemy of Jesus, so they are not the enemy of the Christian. Okay? Evil people are not our enemy. Unbelievers are not our enemy. Satan is our enemy. You know, a central point of all this is that Jesus once let the weeds grow up with the wheat. He allows the believer and unbeliever to grow together. At issue, Jesus says, is that if the weed is pulled, wheat might be pulled too. There's a picture here. If you pull it up, Carolyn, as Jody was talking, here's wheat and a certain kind of weed that is common there. The wheat's on the left, the wheat is on the right. Especially before they're full grown, it's hard to tell the difference. Plus, since they are grown together, as you pull one up, you can uproot the others. Okay? But these weeds and these wheat look an awful lot alike when they're young. Now, as Jody mentioned, as the wheat matures, I don't have another picture for this, but as the wheat matures, it turns golden, and with the weight of the grain, it does bend over, and it's easier to tell what's wheat and what's wheat once everything matures. See, it's too early to tell what is wheat and what is weed. It's too early to know all the believers and unbelievers. There will be a time when Christ will pass judgment. The two will be properly separated, but not yet. There will be a time when Jesus judges. Wow. There will be a time when Jesus Christ judges everyone, but we don't judge. It's not our place. So the weeds are not our enemy, and it's not up to us to judge people. Now, most parables can be pushed too far. You have to be careful with that. Okay. The stories have a point or two, and to stray from that main point or two can be very, very dangerous. For instance, in this parable, there isn't any teaching about the power of Jesus to turn weeds into wheat. Okay, this doesn't work agriculturally, right? But that's not what Jesus is talking about. This isn't the entire gospel all wrapped up into one story. Okay, so don't try to say from this, well, if you're a weed, you're always a weed, because weeds never become wheat. But that's a whole other point. Okay, Jesus does work in the life of unbelievers, and people are born again. In the terms of the parable, weeds can be transformed into wheat. So a great question for us, okay, we're not the world, as in we're not Jesus, and we're not Satan, so are we a weed or are we wheat? That's a great question to ask yourself. Am I a weed or my wheat. The weeds are living against Jesus. The weeds are serving his enemy. So if you're a weed, if you're not serving Christ, if you deny Jesus as master, as savior, then I would ask you today, why not pray and let Jesus turn you into a wheat? Let Jesus save you. It'll be the best decision you ever made. It'll be most fulfilling to let him lead you, to let him guide your life. We'll pray about that in a little bit. You know, as I think about the parable, it's hard to be wheat growing up among weeds. It can be hard. We can get hurt. You know, besides weeds that look like wheat and are in competition, so to speak, you know, there are thorns. There's other kinds of weeds. Thorns are dangerous. We can get hurt. Now, we have to trust that God knows best. He'll use the hurt for our good. We have to trust that God will take the scars, will take the bruises, and he'll make something beautiful of that. In Christ Jesus, God does make us beautiful, no matter what damage we have faced, no matter how we've been harmed. But there's still the hurt. And all of us come along with hurt. So I'd like to spend the rest of our service, well, actually not quite the rest of the service, we'll close with a hymn. I'd like to spend most of the rest of the service praying. Praying for us. There'll be plenty of time for you to silently or softly pray and recognize things as I leave space, and praying for ourselves, praying for our loved ones. You know, we have friends, we have relatives who are hurt. Friends and relatives who, you know, are weeds and need to become wheat. And friends and relatives who are wheat and who are just really, really battered. So let's pray. You know, as we pray, if you'd like to come up front and kneel, that would be wonderful. There's nothing more powerful there than anywhere else in the world. But it can be an extra sign of humility, an extra sign of coming before God. So you're welcome to come to the prayer rail up here. Lord God, Lord, we need your help. We need your healing. We have friends, we have loved ones who need help, who need healing. So Lord, we start by seeking forgiveness for the times that we have hurt others, for the times that we have denied you. For the times that we've knowingly done wrong. Lord, forgive us for purposefully doing what we shouldn't do, and for purposefully avoiding what we know we should do. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have hurt others, and the times we've hurt ourselves. And Lord, we turn from that. We repent. We want to do better. We wish to do better. Give us, Lord, what it takes to not deny you next time, to not purposefully do what is wrong. Help us, Lord, that we may follow you. And Lord, renew in us the joy of our salvation. For all of us who are weak, renew in us the joy of being your followers. What a wonderful thing to be yours and to know we are yours, to be washed. Renew in us the sense of your Spirit in our lives. And Lord, for those of us who have never committed to following you, Lord, we do now. We ask for you to forgive us and renew us, refresh us, reinvigorate us, make us new. We want to be reborn. We want to be wheat. We want to live for you. We turn from darkness, from evil, and we live for you. And we ask you, God, to reach out to our loved ones who do not know and follow you. Bring people into their lives that they would work in their spirit by your Spirit. May they see the truth of you and your love. May they not hear the lies that come from Satan. May they find the true joy of following you, of being saved. And Lord, where we can, give us the courage to share with them, to speak to them. Give us the words. Make us your witnesses to tell what we have seen, what we know, to share the joy that we have. Lord, we pray for broken dreams. There are so many of us who have seen dreams shattered. We need hope. We need fresh life. Repair us, rebuild us. And Lord, we need healing for broken relationships. You have made us that we need each other. Heal our relationships. Give us the courage, Lord, to seek forgiveness with others where we need to seek forgiveness. Give us the courage to forgive others. Begin to restore our relationships. Teach us proper boundaries to open ourselves to loving again without opening up ourselves to evil. To know how to do that. Lord, there are so many emotional struggles, anxiety, depression. Lord, we need your peace and your comfort. We need your healing. There's so much fear. We need your peace and your comfort. We need your love to break through. We will not be so afraid. There's so much grief, so much loss. Again, we need your peace and your comfort. Renew us, strengthen us. There's so much illness, disease, we need healing. And there are so many lies that we believe. Lies about you. Deep inside, we believe things like that you're not good, that you're not loving. We believe lies about ourselves. Lord, break through those lies in each one of us. Break through the stronghold built on the lie. Expose the lie in us. We protect them so deeply. But Lord, gently peel away at the protection. Just like you helped the woman at the well, peel away at the stronghold and break through and teach us the truth. Speak truth to us. May we only hear your truth. We ask this for ourselves. We ask this for our loved ones. Again, Lord, we ask for revival, that we and our land, our nation, our world would turn to you. We humbly come before you looking for your help. In all these things, we can't really help ourselves. We know we can't. If we could do it ourselves, we already would have. We need you, Lord. And may you be glorified as you rebuild us. May your light and your life shine in us. Lord, we love you. And we bask in the glory of your love around us. In Jesus' name, amen.